I've got a number of signs here, pictures and signs, which you might see when you're travelling on the road. Each one of these pictures shows us what we might expect on our journey. Some things might be a little bit unexpected. They're homemade, so please forgive us. Family effort last night. This one. Oh, well, thank you. I'm not saying it for that. There we go. What do you think? What do you think this one means? Oh, Susie, thank you very much. Yes, anybody else? Roadworks, that's right. At which point my children were popping with some sort of viral meme that's going around at the moment. I hope it does. Also, yes. Right, sorry. This one. Slippery road. Yeah, the road might be a bit greasy. Yeah, that was... No, I won't tell you who did that one. That would be unfair. Okay. Yeah, avalanche, rocks falling. There could be some gravel on the road that makes the road a bit slippery. A little more unusual. Oh! Yes, love it. Perfect. Migratory toad crossing. Well done. Have you just done your test? There we are. Right. So, but how do we... That kind of brings us on to how do we know what these signs mean? How do we know? How do we learn what they mean? Anybody got any ideas? Exactly. You saw my prop. We learn it, we know what these mean because it says it in the Highway Code. The Highway Code are the rules of the road. It's how we stay safe when we're out and about, on our bicycles, on foot, in the car. This is about how we stay safe. But today on Palm Sunday, we're remembering the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And in doing this, Jesus painted a picture. He gave us a visual picture. Jesus on a donkey. Now, this picture would have meant so much to the people of his time because they knew what the prophets had said, what had been reported in the Bible. And the Bible teaches us God's way of living. These are the rules of God's kingdom. So, as we've heard before, we heard a couple of weeks ago, Abby was telling us how much Jesus liked to use, he used stories, he used his pictures to tell a story. And there were stories within stories, boxes within boxes. Do you remember all those boxes a couple of weeks ago? Well, the prophets, who were God's messengers way, way, way before Jesus was born, they liked to use pictures too. And 500 years before the first Palm Sunday, Zechariah told of how Israel's king would come to them, gentle and riding on a donkey. That would have been really surprising because, well, a donkey wasn't a creature of war. It wasn't a creature of a king. That would be more like a proud horse that would carry a general into battle with all his armor. The donkeys were working creatures. They were peaceful. So that was a picture that they would really have understood and it would have resonated with them. And Jesus' disciples, well, they'd spent 3 years with him. They'd heard him teach. They knew his message was about peace and love. They'd seen the miracles and they knew he was the Messiah, the one who was going to set Israel free. But what about the crowds of people who were lining the streets? They were running alongside the donkey. They were trying to keep up to know what was happening. They could see what was going on. They knew the prophet's stories. And they'd heard the rumors of what Jesus was capable of. This was their savior. This is the one that was going to overthrow the Romans and bring Israel more than just this Pax Romana, this peace, because you were frightened of the people in power. This Jesus was going to bring them real independence, wasn't he? Well, let's hear just what it would have been like to be there, to be part of the action. Hold on to your seats. We're about to get a donkey side view. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, keep up.
What an exciting day!
I know. Who would have thought that Jesus would have caused such uproar in Jerusalem?
It was so wonderful to hear the crowds praising Jesus. Though, I did notice a few hostile faces.
It's a bit worrying, isn't it? Especially after Jesus told us that he was coming to Jerusalem to...
be condemned to death, mocked, flogged, crucified.
Hi there. Hi. So, sorry to interrupt. I'm a reporter for the Jerusalem Herald. Seem to have missed all the excitement here because my editor sent me down to Bethlehem to write a report on stray donkeys. But did I hear you say there was uproar in Jerusalem?
You could say that.
Could you tell me what happened? I mean, I need to know for this evening's article.
Well, early this morning, we were travelling with Jesus towards Jerusalem and we arrived at Bethphage at the Mount of Olives.
Jesus turned to us and said, "Go to the village ahead of you and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me."
Hang on a minute. So Jesus told you to just help yourself to a donkey and a colt?
That's right.
What if somebody asked you what they were doing?
Well, Jesus told us to say that the Lord needed them.
I see. So you went off and found the colt and the donkey, I assume. And what happened next?
So, we placed our cloaks on the colt and Jesus sat on it. He then rode the colt towards Jerusalem.
Really?
Yes, really! As Jesus rode along, a large crowd spread their cloaks on the road in front of him, while others cut branches like this, and we spread them all over the road.
People were singing and shouting, but of course his followers sang the loudest.
What were you all saying?
Hosanna to the Son of David!
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord!
Hosanna in the highest heaven!
But the Pharisees weren't too happy about that.
You're right there. They said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." We were obviously singing too loudly.
And what did Jesus say?
He told them that if we kept quiet, the very stones would sing out.
That would be worth hearing.
By the time we arrived in Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asking, "Who is this?"
You know, this reminds me of something that I read once in the books of the prophets.
Yes, us too. It's in the book of Zechariah, isn't it?
Yeah, hang on. Let me find it. I just got my Bible just here. Book of the prophets, right here. Yes. It says, "Here we are. This is what Zechariah said 500 years ago. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you riding on a donkey, gentle and on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
Wow. Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem today as king to fulfill Zechariah's prophecy.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to me. This is a wonderful story. I just need to quickly get back to the office and write it up before the deadline. Thank you.
I think we need to go and find Jesus. I wonder what he's going to do next.
Brilliant, don't worry, it's not scary. It's not scary, I wouldn't do that. So, we said earlier, we've heard about about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and the picture that it painted about him being a king coming in peace. So, but what we want to know is what kind of king is Jesus? So let's have a think about some of the things that we think about. What do we think about when we think of kings? What pictures come into our heads? Any ideas? Crowns? What do they live in? Castles, palaces. Let's go with that. Right, so most kings, as we said, they've got riches, lots of money, and they expensive clothes. They live in beautiful palaces, and they can have the best that money can buy. So I'm going to get this the wrong way around. Isabel. No. Imogen, and... I can hear them going, psst. Okay, what's your name? Felicity, right, flick, right, here we go. So, we're going to make Imogen into a king. We're going to give you a purple robe like a king would have worn. There we go, just because you're nearest to me, that's all. There we are. So you are now King Felicity, the King Imogen. I'm going to get this wrong, whichever way around I do it. Here we are. There, you can put your hands through. There we go. Right, so you are a king, and you have a pile of Monopoly money. There we go. So here you are, rich and beautifully dressed. Was Jesus like this? Any idea? No. You're quite right. When Jesus was born, he wasn't born into a beautiful crib, much like we suspect is about to be happening, if it hasn't already, because I haven't been following the news. He was wrapped in cloths. He was laid in a manger where an animal would have eaten, because there was no room at the inn. There was no room available for them. And Jesus, when he was an adult, said, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he gave up his riches to come and live on earth. And he dressed in plain, ordinary clothes. This is probably a little bit nicer than plain, ordinary clothes that people would have worn. This is a plain tunic. There we are. Also doubles as an angel. So, we've got our dresses, we've got something to wear, we've got somewhere to live. What else? Kings have servants. Yeah, kings have servants. So, a couple of servants, anybody who's willing to come and perhaps kneel at Imogen's feet. Tell you what, let's come back here a little bit. There you are. No, well, if you're not, that's fine. If not, I've got, oh, well done, Susie. There is a kneeler. That's fine. Don't worry. If it gets uncomfortable, you don't have to stay there. Unless you say so, because you're the king. Yeah? Right. So you have servants to give orders to and to tell them to do. You tell it and they go and do it. Let's not try that out right now. But was Jesus like that? Was Jesus this kind of king? No, well, Jesus was actually a completely different kind of king. Jesus was the king that served. He looked after his disciples after one particularly long day when they had particularly smelly feet. He came and washed their feet with water and towels. So this one is for you. You can put your hands out the side, it might be easier. There you go. Right. Are you comfortable?
Yeah.
No, all right, fine. And so, but what else about kings? They have crowns, don't they? And perhaps a throne. Wow, so let's give you somewhere to sit, somewhere sort of very posh. Here we go, I've made it all suitably posh. There you go, take a seat, my liege. Lovely, there you are. And you better have a crown as well. Right, it's Elliot-sized at the moment, so I'll make it a bit bigger. There we go. Oh, no, we'll go down one, that's too big. There we go, so you have a, a crown. And so you're in pomp and circumstance and wonderful things. But what about Jesus? Was Jesus like that? No, the only crown that Jesus wore was a crown of thorns. And instead of being enthroned on a beautiful throne, Jesus actually was enthroned a little bit differently on a cross. Let me put this down for you. And we'll give you a crown of thorns and a cross, a palm cross. Wow. So our King Jesus is very different from our earthly kings, isn't he? He didn't have a palace and riches. He didn't expect people to serve him, but he served them. He didn't wear a crown or rule his kingdom from a throne pompously. He wore a crown of thorns as he gave up his life on the cross. He didn't come as a warrior king to set the people free from these aggressive Romans. He came in humility as the king of peace to set the people free from their chains of sin and to bring them peace with God the Father, which he did when he laid down his life on the cross and rose again 3 days later. He didn't come as a dominating king to rule over people by force. He came in love, as the king of love, to rule over people's hearts. The crowds in Jerusalem misunderstood what he was trying to bring to them, which is why just a few days later they were calling for his crucifixion. Instead of shouting, "Hosanna, praise the Son of David," they were shouting, "Crucify." We'll be hearing more about that later this week. So do we understand what kind of king Jesus is and what he's done for us? Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. He didn't come for the people of those days, 2,000 years ago. He came with good news. He came for every single one of us here. And when he died on that cross, he made it possible for each one of us to leave behind the sins, the dross, the darkness, everything that this world holds over us, and we can know peace with God. Thank you.